everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm Bruce. I'm your host. Today, we're talking with Mike from Mike's Pizza. He owns a pizzeria inside another establishment. It's actually something that we've talked about quite a bit lately on the podcast is he owns a pizzeria inside another establishment. I had somebody else on the podcast not too long ago that owned a pizzeria inside a coffee shop. That was a few episodes back. And it's something that seems to be popping up more and more that I've been interested in. Is it that these places have so much space, they need to maximize the amount of rent they pay, and by having two or multiple businesses inside of one space, it works that way? How does it work? How did he get into this space? And what's it like to be able to open up inside of another business? Is it good? Is it bad? The pros, the cons? We talk all about that on this episode with Mike. We also talk about his following on Instagram. They've grown a pretty good following on Instagram, and that's their number one marketing channel. And a little bit about how he learned to make pizza. And it's a really interesting story about where he is and how he got started. And I think you're going to enjoy this episode of the podcast. I know I say that on every single episode of the podcast, but if I release the episode here, it means that I think you're going to get something out of it because I enjoyed it. And I think you listening will benefit from the podcast. At least I hope so. And that's my goal. Before we get into today's podcast, though, I do have to say thanks to a couple of products and services that make this show possible. That one being Bacio Cheese, longtime supporter of the podcast. Again, I love Bacio Cheese. I use it at home all of the time when I make pizza or lasagna or chicken parm or whatever I'm making that requires cheese, I go to Bacio. I pull out the block, I shred it, I add it to the top. My family loves it, and I think you will too. So if you're a home pizza maker or you're in your pizza shop and you want to up your pizza and bring your pizza game to the next level, check out Bacio Cheese. You can go to bacciocheese.com/SPM or smartpizzamarketing.com/Bacio. Again, this my favorite cheese. And I'm not just saying that. If you open my fridge right now, you're going to see it in there. So I do use it and I do like it. I think it's a very good cheese and I can tell the difference between multiple cheeses. So again, bacciocheese.com/SPM. And if you are if you're a takeout delivery pizzeria and you have your own delivery drivers and you are looking to email market and really get better at marketing and have everything inside of your point of sale system, Food Tech Solution has to be the point of sale system you use. It's the one that I used. It's the one that I've seen that does the best all around. There's a ton of point of sale systems out there. Food Tech is the perfect one for the pizza industry for takeout delivery pizzerias. It's got great marketing. It has a great backend for reporting. It has a great delivery system for managing those deliveries and the delivery drivers. And it's all in one place. You don't need 17 different platforms. You can do it all with Food Tech Solutions. I love it. When it comes to organizing the bump screen and the order processing and even building you a website for your pizzeria to get it all in line with the online ordering. Great product. I really highly recommend them. Food Tech Solutions. It's the one that I talk about all the time in the podcast because I used it. And I highly recommend it. Food Tech Solutions or smartpizzamarketing.com/foodtech to get started. Appreciate everybody listening to the podcast. Let's get into this episode with Mike from Mike's Pizza. Mike, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for hanging out with me.
Of course. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
This is great. So tell everybody who's listening to the podcast a little bit about your business and like what you do and where you do it.
Yeah. So my name is Mike Olson. I have a pizzeria in Mesa, Arizona. It's called Mike's Pizza. We're located in downtown Mesa. So for those who don't know, Mesa is kind of like a suburb city of Phoenix. We're about 20 minutes west, or I'm sorry, 20 minutes east of Phoenix. So we have a wood fire pizzeria. It's located inside of a bar called Cider Core, and they make and serve their own cider. So they're kind of the alcohol component of the building we're in. So we share the space with them. And then we also, there's also a coffee bar in that same space too. So it's three different businesses under one roof.
That's interesting.
It's been really cool so far. We do like a wood fired pizza. It's, I would say it's kind of like Neapolitan inspired. We definitely stray from some of the Neapolitan conventions, but when I was like first getting into pizza and making pizza, that was my favorite style. So it's definitely inspired by that. But I also enjoy kind of like the more crispiness of like a New York style pizza. So it does have some of those elements to it as well.
That's interesting. I just talked to somebody else from Arizona. I don't think they were in Mesa. Penelope's
Pizza? Yeah, Jared, yeah.
They were kind
of... He's in Jared. He's in Tucson.
Okay. Yeah. So is that, how far is that from you?
It's an hour and a half, 2 hours, depending on traffic.
Okay.
Yeah.
But he's in a coffee shop, kind of doing the same thing you are, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he's a good guy. I met him about a year ago when I walked into his pizzeria, and we ended up chatting for, you know, 20 minutes just about pizza and our respective businesses and all that. It was fun.
Is that a thing in Arizona, or is it just that I just happen to talk to two guys who are doing kind of a similar thing?
You know what? It's really funny because there is another pizza place that opened up, honestly, like two blocks from us, and they're located inside of a brewery. So
okay,
I don't know. I don't want to say we did it. I don't want to say we did it first, but and there's probably someone out there who did it long before we did, but. But yeah, we opened up about 5 years ago. So I think it's just kind of one of those things where, and I've heard you talk a little bit about this on the podcast before, where people are just starting making pizza on a small scale, and then they grow into like a bigger space. And then as other people are looking for partners, they kind of get pulled inside of a brewery, or in the case of Penelope, they get pulled inside of a coffee shop. We got pulled inside of a cider bar. So, it's really fun. I don't know. It's really cool.
It kind of can work for both businesses, right? Cause it works for you because they bring in customers, and then instead of people just coming in to drink and then leaving to go get something to eat, they can stay because you serve pizza. So it's like a win-win.
Yeah, totally. I think our businesses are very much like, symbiotic. Is that the word, where are synergistic,
it will be today. I'm the wrong guy to ask if it's the right word, but let's go with it. It sounds right.
We really feed off each other. And, I really think of it as one community. Like when I go to work and, you know, I see my employees, the employees who work for my business and the people with whom I work directly, but I also interact closely with, you know, the coffee shop guys and the cider people. So it's just, you know, it's just kind of a big, awesome community that we're a part of there.
What did you do before you used to open this?
I used to be an accountant, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So one of the reasons I studied accounting and worked in it for a few years is because one day I knew I'd want to open my own business, and I, you know, didn't really have any dreams of, owning a pizza shop or anything at that point. But I just kind of came across pizza, because I like cooking and baking at home. And, I just really enjoyed making pizza. And I think right off the bat, I was kind of good at it. I think it was just like one of those things that like just really excited me. And like almost immediately after I started making at home, I'm like, okay, well, this is, I think, what I'm going to do. I'm going to open a pizza shop. So it took a long time.
That's smart too.
But yeah.
I think that's really smart. I think I did a video of like mistakes people make before opening your first pizzeria or next one. And I think finding a good accountant or someone that can help you manage your money is probably the number one mistake I see people make. They just open a pizza shop or a pop-up or, you know, some kind of business selling pizza, and they don't take that into consideration.
Yeah.
And it gets out of control real quick.
Well, and even as a former accountant, I can feel for those people, because there was definitely a period in my business where I was so focused on making pizzas for customers, you know, which is incredibly important, where the, financial side kind of fell by the wayside. But, I've been able to delegate a lot of things now, and we have 12 employees now. So
that's great.
It is great. So I have more time to focus on the stuff that a business owner ought to do, or at least ought to do if they haven't delegated those responsibilities. So,
it's interesting, the progression as a business owner. Like you go in from like, all right, I'm going to start a pizza shop or a pizza pop-up, I'm going to make pizza. And then like, once you get business going, you're like, oh crap, now I got to do other stuff other than make pizza. It's like time to move on.
Yeah. Which like for me is good, because like, you know, I listened to a little bit of your background, you having worked in a pizza shop for so long. It's hard to be in there day in, day out, and, you know, making pizza all day and being on your feet. And so I think it suits me being a business owner, where I can take a step back and work on the business side of things and, you know, the relationships. But also I still love making pizza, so I still end up on the schedule, you know, occasionally to make sure that I'm staying up on my pizza skills and and helping train and that sort of thing, and helping come up with new pizzas, new dishes, or you know, or whatever else. So yeah,
it's good to be the owner because, well, listen, there's some bad points about being the owner,
yeah, too, totally.
like things that go along with it. But not being on the schedule is like the best because you get to go in there and make pizza like when you want to. It's almost like brings you back to like how you started the business. It's like, you know what? I don't have to make pizza tonight. That happened to me many times, many Fridays or Saturdays. It was like I wasn't on the schedule, but I would be like hanging out making pizza for a few hours just because I liked to do
it.
And it was way better doing it that way than like having to be there for 7 hours.
Totally. Yeah. I agree 100%.
You know, you looked forward to it. I liked those nights when it's like, just making pizza. I can leave anytime I want, but I'm just enjoying the moment.
Right. Yeah.
So your business, is it, do you do any delivery or is it dine-in only?
We don't do any delivery. I know there's a lot of third-party apps out there and different partnerships, but I just feel like there's too many like little variables that are out of my control. And those companies, you know, they have a pretty high like markup or, I guess like percentage of what they're taking for from your profits or whatever, at least from what I understand. I know that there's some situations that aren't like that, but, so I see that more as like a marketing thing. Like if you're able to give some of your profits toward that for marketing, I think it's a good thing. But in our case, like, I just really, like, honestly, if I had my way, I would make it so that we have no takeout and it's just 100% dine in, because I think our pizza is the best just, you know, seconds after it comes out of the oven.
Yeah.
And so if you're putting it in a box at any point and, you know, taking it to go or coming in to pick it up and then take it home, which is fine. We're happy to serve those customers, but, I just think it loses some of its magic, I guess, when you're putting it in a box and taking it to go. I think there are a lot of pizzas that lend well to that, but, I don't think our pizza is quite that style, I guess.
Yeah. I think Detroit pizza or maybe a grandma style pizza is kind of the only ones that, I mean, listen, no pizza does fantastic in a box eaten a half an hour later, but those two kind of hold up the best.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah. I mean, I just love pizza. So like I'll eat cold pizza, hot pizza, warm pizza. It's just,
same.
You know, any style, it's all good, but I also just want our product to be the best, you know? So yeah.
Yeah. I love cold pizza. Like to me, it's like right out of the oven or cold.
Yeah,
those are my two favorite times.
It's a great pizza. It's like, a great breakfast.
It does. Yeah. It really is. It feels different too. Like if I get a pizza, don't judge me on this, but if I get a 16-inch pizza at my house and like I eat two or three pieces, I'm like, all right, I'm full. I feel like I could eat three pieces of cold pizza, no problem. And I'm not even really full. I don't know what happens to it when it's cold, but it doesn't feel like it's as much food.
Yeah,
when it's hot. I don't know what happens.
Yeah, I can relate to that. I think it's just maybe you can eat it quicker because it's cold. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
There's no like hesitation. It's just like, I'm eating it. It's just going down.
Yeah.
I was like looking at your pizzas on Instagram while you're talking. They look great. And you have a pretty good following on Instagram. Is that like the number one platform you guys use for marketing?
Yeah. Instagram is, it's been really good to us. We've been able to make a lot of really good connections with really cool people and just our guests and, you know, our clientele. And, Instagram is like how I met and became like kind of friendly with like Chris Bianco, who's like a big deal here in the Phoenix. I mean, he's a big deal everywhere in terms of the pizza world, but here in Phoenix, he's just a big deal, like, period. So, just like we've been able to make a lot of good connections and do a lot of great marketing with our Instagram. I tried to have that be like a presence from day one, and it can be really hard to maintain. And honestly, like I don't enjoy maintaining it unless like there's something exciting that I really want to share, you know. But
yeah,
like, you know, we're at the point where we've been able to grow and I can pay someone to maintain it. And she does a fantastic job with it.
Is it a local person?
Yeah, she's actually one of our employees. She started off as a front of house employee, and she's like one of those people who's like good at everything. So she works a couple front of house shifts. And then she does our Instagram, social media. Like, we're on TikTok as well, but like, and I should know what our TikTok following is like, but I just don't because I'm not really you know, I think I just kind of a little too old for the TikTok generation or something. I don't know. I just haven't got into it yet. So I don't really, but she maintains all of that. And then she also, does our desserts as well that we have on the weekends. So,
oh, nice. They look great, yeah, by the way.
And she's, like I said, she's like one of those people who's good at everything. So her desserts are fantastic. She does a good job on social media and she's super at front of house too. So,
I think that's smart too, because you're going to pay someone to do it.
Yeah.
I always tell people, because they reach out to me and they're like, hey, can you do our marketing? I'm like, yeah, we can, but I don't think we should. You should really learn how to do it yourself or hire somebody within your business. Because like, it's like got to be on brand.
Yeah.
What you say, the photos that you have, like the videos that you do, the context. And if you hire it out, it loses that feeling of what you're trying to say,
yeah,
when someone walks into the business. Yeah. You know, it's better to have somebody in-house do it.
And it really does. And she knows our brand. She's been with us for 5 years and she's in the pizzeria 5 days a week. So,
yeah, perfect.
So yeah, she's a good fit for that. But yeah, I agree with you.
Like, how did you meet Chris Bianco? Through Instagram?
Yeah, like, well, so it's really funny. I started following him on Instagram ages ago, and then he started following our Mike's Pizza, Instagram, and you know, he like made a couple comments or whatever. And then I met him. I was at one of his restaurants with some friends. I was at Trotto. It's kind of like his Italian, you know, Italian restaurant in Phoenix, which is just incredible. But and he walked in, was starting to make his rounds at the tables, and then he came over to our table, and I was like, hey, Chris, I wanted to introduce myself to you. So at that time, I hadn't opened the pizzeria. I was doing a pop-up. And so I said, I want to introduce myself to you. My name's Mike. I do a pop-up in called Mike's Pizza in Mesa. And before I could even finish, he was like, dude, you're Mike's Pizza. I follow you on Instagram. And he was just like, so stoked to meet me. And it was like such a surreal thing, because like here he is, like, he's like the man, you know, like as far as like, I think pizza in the US, he's like one of the top, you know, top five or whatever. Like,
he's definitely somebody that people in the pizza community and not in the pizza community know.
Yeah. He's a pizza hero anyway. And just overall awesome dude, but he was just like so stoked to meet me. And I was like, just like my mind was blown. And, so you know, and he's like, hey, do you want my phone number? And like, he's like offering me his phone number. And so, I took his phone number when we were opening the spot. Like I called him a couple times for like some, you know, questions I had about, you know, a pizza oven and this and that. And then, last winter, the Super Bowl 2023, he and I were part of a team that made pizza at the Super Bowl. So I got to make pizza with him and a bunch of other people. And just like, just, you know, just running into him, it's always like really cool. Cause he's just stoked to see me. And it's, I feel really, you know, humbled by that, cause he doesn't have to be generous to me as he is. So
that's great. Sounds like a nice guy.
Oh yeah. He's
sounds like a really nice, humble guy.
Without a doubt. He's the best.
I think for the most part, people in the pizza community are pretty nice.
I have yet to meet someone who just isn't like so excited to talk to you about pizza and be friendly and encouraging and all of that.
Yeah.
So it's,
I've done a ton of podcasts. I think I've done 700 podcasts.
Wow. Yeah.
Like the live shows. And I think I've only met, and I've met hundreds of people outside of the podcast. I think I've only met two people. I won't name them, but I met two people who rubbed me the wrong way and weren't very nice. But other than that, like you said, everybody else has been super amazing.
I mean, right? That's a good
vast majority of people.
Yeah, that's a good ratio.
It is. Yeah. I think a lot of people are very humble, like Chris, and just like very open to helping. That's the one good thing about how the community has grown over the years. Is,
yeah,
you know, when I was first started 25, 30 years ago, everything was a secret. Nobody wanted to share their recipes. Nobody wanted to tell you how they made their dough. They would like rip the labels off the cans and then throw the cans outside so you wouldn't see what sauce they're using.
Yeah.
Very different. But once the internet opened up and Instagram and people became like, it really is a community where people are helping people. Even if they're close to you, you still help somebody out.
Yeah, no, I agree. And my philosophy is always like, you know, some people will ask me if they're like, because when people will ask me questions about about making pizza, about, you know, pizza dough or like sauce or cheese or whatever, where we find certain things. And I'm always happy to share because people have been really generous to me, but also I'm like, if somebody really wants to like replicate and or like copy what we're doing, like I wish them luck because as you know, running a pizzeria is not easy. It's not just like, oh, I just got to steal this guy's methods and we're good to go. It's like, no. It's nothing like that. And what's going on in our market, in our pizzeria, like probably won't work like three blocks away. You know what I mean? So, whatever, you know, secrets we have, they're not worth keeping because because it's just, to me, I think food, and I think a pizza lends especially well to this, but like food is about community and sharing and connection and love and all of that. So I think that, to kind of like keep those things secret, I don't really think it serves anything.
I agree with that. You know what it is? Like recipes in a way pizza operates. Remember that game you played when you were a kid and you had like 10 friends around the table and you'd whisper something in the air. Uh-huh. And then by the time it got all the way around to the other side, it was like a totally different phrase. Yep. That's what like a recipe in operations is for a pizzeria, unless it's like the same person taking it and opening a second location. And even then, many times you'll have a spot that you opened or someone opened and the pizza's fantastic. And then you take it, you know, a couple miles away and you're like, it's a little different. I don't know what happened to it, but it's a little bit different. It's not the same people. Yeah. It's not the same layout. It's not the same operation. Everything's the same, but it just tastes a little different. Yeah. So you could give away the house and then someone's going to open it down the street. It's not going to be the same as yours.
Yeah, totally. So, and that's like one thing I'm trying to tighten up right now at our pizzeria, because everyone kind of does things a little bit differently. And and like as well as I try to communicate things, and sometimes I don't communicate things very well. I'm a human being, you know, but like, you know,
that's my problem too.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people like that. So you're not alone.
And, but like as much as I try and communicate some things, like a lot of things just don't quite translate. We're all different people with different experiences and different brains and minds. So not everything is going to, you know, be the same from one person to another, but, so it can be a challenge to like, you know, like you're telling someone to like, okay, just back off on the cheese a little bit, or, you know, add just a little bit more cheese here. Or with this pizza, you don't want to do quite as much of cheese because you've got the salami on there that's going to weigh down the, you know, all of the toppings, and it makes the impression that there's more cheese than there actually is. And just yet communicating those little things, it can be really tricky. And then people forget, or they, you know, go home and come back after a weekend and, you know, just how they interpret it is different than they interpreted a couple days ago and so on. And, anyway, so yeah.
Yeah. I was just funny. Cause I just got off a podcast right before we, recorded this one, like an hour ago with Troy from Blue Square Pizza. And he is like, he is fanatical about like, I went into his pizzeria. It's one of our YouTube channels we did. And he has like laminates everywhere. He has like he has a iPad that has all the calculations for his dough. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. I wish I operated like that when I was operating. Cause I was like you, I was like, you know, the operation procedure for us was like, all right, let's tell this guy how to do
right.
it. It wasn't like writing it down and like having everything documented precisely. Cause it just took so much time.
Yeah.
It's only so much time in the day. And before you know it, you're tired and you want to go home and you're like, I'll do that tomorrow.
Yeah. And that's what it's funny because I have pictures of our pepperoni pizza step by step of what I want it to look like. And all I have to do is like put it into a document, but I don't know how to format these things or what the right way to do it. And then do I buy a lamination machine or do I like find someone who can laminate it for me and stuff like that. So it's just kind of like, I don't feel like solving that problem right now, or I have to deal with this other problem that's more pressing, or, you know, or there's customers that need to be served, or I need to go home and relax and spend time with my wife because I can't be at the pizzeria for, you know, every hour of my life and all that. So.
I hear that totally. Two people that I know that laminated things, Alex from Hot Tongue Pizza. I think he bought a laminator.
Okay.
And then Troy, I think he said he had one of his one of the guys that like makes his menu or something, he just sent him all the stuff and the guy printed it and laminated it and sent it back. So that might be an option for
you. I'll have to check that out. Like
whoever does your menu or something. Yeah. I can give you a connection to them too, if you want.
Cool. Yeah. Thank you.
Ask them where they got it. Cause it is. And sometimes it's just like, and then once it's done, you're like, why didn't I do that earlier? It didn't take that long. Right. It wasn't that hard.
Right.
I've been delaying doing that cause I thought it was going to be way harder than it is. I should have just done that a year ago.
Yeah. I can relate to that for sure.
What does your pizzeria like layout look like? What kind of oven do you have and like how do you format the kitchen?
Yeah, so we've got a big wood fire oven. It's the oven maker is Renato. We were actually like really lucky with it. We found it essentially in a junkyard of this guy who like buys used restaurant equipment. Really? And he bought it from a pizzeria in Fort Collins, Colorado. And then it sat in his junkyard in Phoenix for like a couple months, and we bought it for a really good price. We have
the. How'd you find it?
A friend of ours who was opening a pizzeria in Phoenix, Viadella is his pizzeria. Super awesome slice shop, but anyway, he was looking for equipment, and I think a friend told him about it, and so he told us about it. And so we went down and checked it out, and it was like the exact model of oven that we were looking for. Because I was looking at buying one of their ovens new. And so that saved us some money. So if you're looking at our kitchen, we actually have like a ton of space. It's kind of ridiculous, but, cause I know a lot of restaurants don't, but, so we've got the big oven. It's kind of like the centerpiece of our kitchen. And then in front of the oven, we have like our make line and our dough stretching line. Actually all of our pizzas will get some sort of finishing topping. So we finish most of our pizzas with an aged Gouda. So they'll get the finishing toppings at the end of like the make line or whatever. And then, we have our front of house counter right by that, which is really small. We do a lot of ordering on QR codes. That was something we picked up in the pandemic, and then it's kind of just worked for us. So we have a QR code at every table that guests can order from, or they can come up to our counter and order from us there too.
Is there a wait staff, or is it like just kind of order and we'll bring it over?
Yeah, it's mostly order and we'll bring it over. And because we're inside of this cider bar, like we have a lot of, there's interaction that guests get from Cider Core, the cider bar, and also from our staff. But for the most part, most of our operating hours, we're just running one front of house person just because, with the QR codes and everything, that just kind of what works for us. And then on the busy times, like Fridays, Saturdays, we'll have two front of house staff there. And then we also have some of our back of house employees that will run pizzas too.
Everybody has a phone nowadays anyway, so it's pretty simple.
Yeah. Yeah. And some people say they don't have a phone or they don't want to use a QR code. So we have a tablet that they can order from. We'll probably end up getting like a screen that will, you know, list our menu too. But we really like doing the QR codes because we run Toast. That's our point of sale. And it just makes it really easy for us to update our menus. Like if we happen to run out of a topping, or like our desserts, for example, we only do dessert on the weekend. Just because like, I don't know if we would sell enough of them during the week, we have a chocolate chip cookie that we keep on the menu all week, but we do desserts during our busy time, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But so we have a limited amount of those. Those will run out. So when we're out, well, first of all, Toast allows us to track the inventory. So we can just set, okay, we've got 40 desserts. And then when those are out, they're out.
Automatically turns it off.
Yes, it does. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah. So we like that flexibility with the menu in terms of like QR codes and phones. And I kind of do miss a paper menu cause I like physical media, you know what I mean? But, that aspect makes it easy to manage the menu and communicate to guests what we have and that sort of thing, and make changes on the fly if we need to.
Yeah, I think people got used to the QR code, like you said, with 2020. I went to a restaurant. This is going to age me. I went to a restaurant the other day, or not the other day, a couple weeks ago, and they had paper menus. And I have, like, reading glasses sometimes that as I get older, I'm like, all right, I need to find, like, it's a really small print. I can't see what the heck I'm reading. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, I wish I could look at this menu on my phone because I can't read this. I can't read what this says. I didn't have any glasses. It was dark. The wording was really small. Right. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing here.
Yeah, that's funny.
So I like the QR code thing.
Yeah, that's funny because that's interesting. Well, that feels a little validating. So,
yeah. But also, who doesn't have a phone nowadays?
Yeah, I know. And you know, maybe there's like, I don't know, just different income brackets or some people who just haven't adopted a smartphone for whatever reason. And honestly, I don't blame
them. People deserve
about once
to
a week, I think
menu.
About ditching my smartphone, but,
that's true. That's so, true. It is true that I don't want a phone, but I have it because, you know,
so like, I get it.
Sometimes it's annoying,
but yeah.
I can't tell if I admire those people or I resent those people.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
For not having a phone.
Like, I know what you mean.
Like being able to pull that off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes you're right. I wish I could not have a phone, but like, I can't do it. I can't live without it.
I know. I'm on mine way too much.
Yeah, this is great. So how many pizzas do you guys sell like on a busy night?
A busy night. With one oven? Yeah. So like weekdays we'll shoot for about 100 pizza. Well, I'd say 90 to 100, on like a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Thursday is when our pizzas start creeping up. Like Thursdays are busy for us. Fridays we'll sell about 150, 160. And then Saturdays we'll sell like 170, 180. Every now and then we'll get like a crazy busy Saturday where we'll sell like 200, like up to 220. And then Sundays we're only open for like a long lunch on Sunday. So we'll do maybe like 60 or 70 pies on a Sunday. And then we're closed Mondays.
That's great. You got a great business going there then.
Yeah, we do. It's honestly like surreal. Like I pinch myself sometimes because like, you know, like I said, I used to be an accountant. So, and I made good money as an accountant, you know, it was steady income, you know, benefits, all that stuff. So I was really nervous to leave that sort of environment to be working in a pizzeria in a restaurant where, you know, notoriously thin margins and for people who are coming up in the restaurant, notoriously low pay. So I was, and I think those are industry things. It's not necessarily like what I want to do in a business. Like I want to have big margins. I want to pay my employees well. And we try to pay them well, but anyway, the point I was trying to make, it's just kind of like really surreal to be like this successful. And I say that all with like a grain of salt and with all the privilege in the world, you know, because, you know, not everyone has the opportunity to like follow their dreams or whatever. And not every restaurant or business that someone starts is going to be successful. So, you know, I take it all with a grain of salt. I mean, we work hard and I think we make a really good product. So I think that it's worth the value, but I also know that things can change in a heartbeat, you know, like I pray that there's not another pandemic or other incident like that, but something like that could come along out of the blue where we just have no idea, you know, had no way to expect that. And then, you know, it could not that it would all be over, but you know, the good sales that we're having now could be very different. So
it's amazing. Like not amazing, but 2020 was 4 years ago.
Yeah. It blows my mind.
That's crazy, isn't it? Yeah. It feels like it wasn't that long.
No, it feels like it was like last year.
Yeah. And like, I feel like it's just started. Like everybody's just starting to kind of recover now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can I ask you a question before we wrap it up here?
Sure.
I know I said 30 minutes, but I got one more question for you. Because you seem like you got a great business now, you have a good staff, but like the first year you were in business, was it busy right off the bat or was it like a grind to get it going?
So right off the bat, our weekends were busy. And I expected that would be the case because we started, before we opened our pizzeria that we have now, we operated as a pop-up. So I think that people,
So you had a little bit of like notoriety.
Yeah. And I think that, and during that pop-up time, we really were only active on the weekends. So, I think that people, you know, knew where they could find us on the weekend. So our weekends really carried us during that first time.
Yeah.
Cause our weeknights would tend to be like on the slower side of things. But, as time has gone by, you know, it's definitely got to the point where our weekdays are good money making days too. So,
yeah, that's great. And I just wanted to, cause I get emails from people or I take calls with people who are like, get a little discouraged. They opened in a couple of months. It's like, you know, it's still a struggle. And I'm like, you know what? It's going to take time. You got to like perfect your craft every single day and make sure every pizza that goes out is good.
Yeah.
The ones that you make tomorrow are better than the ones you made today.
Yeah.
And it's just a slow grind. So don't get discouraged if it's not busy right off the bat.
Yeah. And I will say, you know, we've been opening our spot for 5 years now. It's only been within the past, say like year or so that I've been able to make the kind of money that I've really needed to be making all along. You know what I mean? So
that's good.
So, and part of that was because I wasn't quite managing, our business and labor as well as we ought to have been. But part of it is it just takes time for your business to grow. And that's the reality of starting. I think any business is like, you expect, you know, at least the first few years are going to be pretty rough, either financially or in terms of like the hours you're putting in, or, you know, probably even both at times. So, I mean, it's tough, but to me, like, it's been worth it to get to the point that we're at now.
That's great. I mean, that's encouraging for people to hear too. So like, if you're out there and you've been doing it for 6 months and it's like not where you need it to be, you're okay. You're not doing anything wrong. You're like, as long as you're getting a little better every day, as long as you're not going backwards, right? Like if it's 6 months in and you're declining, that's something that I would look at.
Yeah.
But if it's like just slowly growing or steady, you know, it's going to take some time.
Yep.
Definitely. So that's encouraging for people to hear. All right, Mike. Mikespizza.com is your website. On Instagram, you are Mike's Pizza. And Mike's with a Y, by the way.
Correct.
M-Y-K-E. Yes. Is that how you spell your name? Yeah, that's how you spell your name,
Mike. Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yep.
All right. So Mike's Pizza on Instagram, Mike with a Y. Go give them a follow. We'll link all that up in the show notes. Mike, anything else we should talk about, or anything else you want to talk about, or where people should go to say hello if they have a question or anything like
that? Yeah, if you've got a question, hit us up on Instagram. I'm pretty good at responding to those. That part of the social media I take care of. And also our social media person does too. Hit us up on Instagram. You can email us through our website. I will see those emails, or just come in and say hi, either, you know, all of the above.
Yeah. What's your address? What's your address?
Where you are? Our address.
I know there's some people in Arizona.
Yeah. Our address is 31 South Robson, R-O-B-S-O-N. And we're at suite number 103, Mesa, Arizona, 85210. And this is like I don't know. This is like one of those things that, basically, we don't have a sign outside, and it's been like a, I don't know what you would call it, but it's just not been one of those things we've been able to do because of like the owner and of the building and the city and anyway. And, it's just been kind of like this thing that we kind of keep pushing down the road. And anyway, so look for Cider Core. When you find Cider Core, come inside, you'll see us, or just like go to that address and walk inside, you'll see us. So we're there.
Right, excellent.
We don't have much of a presence outside, but we are working on it, but it's just been a long time coming. So, yeah.
That's awesome. We'll link that up in the show notes, your website, Instagram. So if you want to go, anybody listening to this and you're like, I forgot, go to smartpizzamarketing.com. Everything will be there. Mike, don't go anywhere yet, but thank you so much for hanging out with me and joining me on the podcast. It was really great talking
to you. Yeah. Likewise. It's been my pleasure. It's really fun to talk with you.
All right. Thank you, Mike, for joining me on the podcast. Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you are listening to this podcast when it comes out, check me out. I'll be at the National Restaurant Expo in Chicago. If you are going to be going there as well, hit me up on Instagram. We can meet up. I'm at Smart Pizza Marketing on Instagram. And if you want to know what's happening there, probably going to be recording some videos from the show itself and then from pizzerias around the Chicago area, which is going to be fun and exciting. My first time in Chicago. I've never been there before. And this is going to be a fun pizza trip along with the National Restaurant Expo. So if you are going to be there, hit me up, smartpizzamarketing.com. All of our links and everything that we mentioned on this podcast or any podcast in the future is all right there. Our magazine, our YouTube channel, our podcast, all of the blog posts, the SPM community, everything we do for you to run a better pizzeria and have a better life operating your pizzeria and have fun doing it, or at least try to have fun doing it, we do over at smartpizzamarketing.com. Thank you so much for tuning into the podcast. See you right back here on the next episode.